Well, let's take our Bibles, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to look at a verse that many of you may have memorized. Psalm 119. If you find the center of your Bible, you're going to be awfully close to this verse. We continue with the emphasis, National Bible Publishing Month. We do talk a little bit about what it takes to publish the Bible and get it delivered into the hands of those that need it. But also we're preaching on the importance of God's Word throughout this month as well. Psalm 119, verse 105. If you could stand, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read just verse 105, but let's read it together in unison. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Father, I come to you this morning. And what a wonderful passage this is, and what a wonderful truth this is. God, I pray that as we lift up God's Word and expound it, we are lifting up and honoring our God for all that you are, for all that you do, and especially for what you have done for us through providing redemption and offering it to us full and free. We pray in Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Psalm 119 is one of 37 anonymous psalms. While there may seem to be some telltale signs that David could claim it, we have no indication, no written record that it was written by David, but it is a tremendous and a phenomenal psalm. I read of one particular preacher that memorized the entire psalm. And as he would walk on a regular basis from one point to another, that he would recite this psalm of encouragement. And many times he would be leaving a location of discouragement and he would recite it. And by the time he would get home from reciting this psalm, he would be rejoicing in the Lord and ready for a good night's safe sleep in his Lord. This verse is one of many of the Bible's verses that stands out by itself as a great treasure trove of divine truth. You see, it encapsulates two of the great themes throughout the Word of God. And the one theme is that the Word is a lamp and a light for all of life, living, and eternal life. The other great theme, it teaches that every and each life must and will choose a path to journey and will need direction for the steps you take through that journey, and that each one will lead to an eternal destiny. Now, because it describes this great truth about the Word being a lamp and a light, it is in essence saying as well and affirming that we live in a world of darkness with darkened hearts and in desperate need of God's light. You know, sometimes you've heard the old saying, we don't know what we don't know. But the Bible has been that light to reveal what we don't know. And once we discover that, what a wonderful truth and what wonderful things that we learn from it. Now, we said that it tells us that we live in darkness with darkened hearts. The Bible teaches that through many passages. Turn with me to John chapter 1. And this is one of the things that so many people would fit that term, they don't know what they don't know. You know, life can be discouraging and for some just full of depression. Yet at the same time, they see daylight, they see dark, they have ecstatically wonderful times, they have some bad times, but they don't necessarily see the world as a dark place to live, and they don't necessarily see their heart as being darkened, and they certainly do not see that they are destined to darkness for eternity. And these passages reveal exactly what they do not know. In John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Tremendous testimony of what took place and where he was when he said this, but I have not time to go there. He that followeth me shall not walk in, say that word together, darkness, but shall have the light of life. Chapter 12. In verse 46, chapter 12 and verse 46, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Let's turn over to the book of Colossians. We see this testimony once again of how we live in a world of darkness with darkened hearts. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. One more. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so as we consider this passage back in Psalm 119, please understand that we do live in a world of darkness with darkened hearts. And not only that, but we find that if we do not turn to the light, as Matthew chapter 8 describes, we will be cast into outer darkness for eternity, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. And understanding the darkness that we face, how marvelous and how wonderful is both the lamp and light of God's Word. Now, I said that this verse back in Psalm 119, 105, encapsulates two great divine themes that run throughout the Word of God. First of all, it is that the Word is God's lamp and light to the world. It is the Word. Now, I want you to remember, and I've talked about this just in recent weeks, but you cannot separate the person of Christ from the written Word. You've heard me say, and I've quoted apostates and unbelievers. They say, well, I know the Bible says that, but I think Jesus would say this. I know the Bible tells us this, but I think Jesus felt differently. You cannot separate, and there was never any dichotomy between the two. There is no dissent, no division, no deviation between the person of Christ and the written Word. You see, Jesus Christ was the written Word lived with ultimate perfection. There was no sin in him, and none could be found. and he never sinned. In fact, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And they could not bring witnesses against him to agree to find any fault in him. He lived the written word in the ultimate perfection and demonstrated how to live the word. The written word of God is the will and mind of Christ written with absolute perfection. And so we understand while Christ is the light of the world, so too is the word both a lamp and a light. And you cannot separate. Now, while it is not necessarily stated, this comes back to what I mentioned, but it is a light to the darkened heart by the testimony of this passage. Now, here it talks about the path and the footsteps. But if you conclude from the whole testimony of Psalm 119, here is a darkened heart that has come to the light of the Word of God and come to the light Jesus Christ for salvation. And his life is literally transformed. And so we see it as a testimony of how a darkened heart can be transformed. Ephesians 5:8 says, we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. And we see that it is the Word of God that illumines our heart, convicts our heart, illumines our mind, gives us understanding that we are sinners. And it is the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and pricks the heart and convicts us of sin and helps us to understand that we are sinners. And then it also convicts us of the righteousness of God, and we understand that we can never have adequate self-righteousness to measure up to the righteousness of God. And the only way we can be accepted by God is to have the imputed righteousness of Christ placed upon us. And we discover that we receive it through repentance to God and faith in Jesus Christ. And so we see this great testimony of how his life is literally transformed. I wish I knew who was the author. Because then maybe there would be a written record of what his life was like before the Word of God got a hold of his life. This world and history is filled with men, women, and children wherein the light of God's Word have brought them to salvation in Jesus Christ, and how their lives were literally, dynamically transformed and changed. I think of the song Amazing Grace that was written by a sinner that understood what it meant to be a sinner and to have his life literally transformed. He, a vulgar individual before he got saved. And there is testimony after testimony. Paul is a testimony of a transformed life, one who hated Christians and sought to kill them, to where he became a Christian and preached Christ and defended the Word of God. There have been many lives. I remember going to Bible college and sitting down. Another Bible college student was working at the same place I was, and we were chatting. Clean, shaven, sharp-looking young Bible student he was. And we were talking, and he handed me his old driver's license. And he says, you know who this is? And I looked at that, and I looked at that, and I was helped because it had his name beside it. And I said, this was you? I mean, he looked like the hippies out of the 60s for sure. Even in his driver's license picture, not well kept, hair down to the shoulders and beyond that was unkept. And just a very pathetic look. And he says, you know what? Nobody had to tell me to clean up to be an ambassador for Christ. His life was literally transformed. If you've ever saw the tract that one of our missionaries, Brother John Reddick, has put out, I think it has a picture of him similar to that before he got saved. And he was just kind of, floating around, living the life of the world. and God saved him. His life has changed from the heart out. And now God's using him. You see, the Word of God reveals the sin to us and reveals the righteousness of God to us and has the power to transform our lives. I love the book. I love the Bible. And so we see that it has the power to transform. It is a light unto our path. Now this one it talks about in the passage. It says, and a light unto my path. Now this is in reference to the general direction in which Christ directs every believer to follow. There is no respecter of persons. In verse 1 of this very chapter, blessed are the undefiled in the way. You'll find the term the path and the way used synonymously frequently in the Bible. And it's talking about the way that we should go and how we should live. And do understand there are two general paths that you could choose to take. And of course, this is prior to salvation. You have these two choices. And there are only two choices. And every individual will choose one or the other. Now, somebody may say, I'm not necessarily choosing the bad one, I'm just not accepting the right one. By rejecting the right one, you have automatically and taken the bad one. Matthew 7, 13 through 14 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now that broad way of destruction that leads to eternal darkness and eternal separation from God, there are people on there from the spectrum of self-righteous who are moral and ethically and honorably people, but they simply have rejected Jesus Christ. All of the way to the most vile, vulgar, wicked, evil person. It is a broad way, and it takes and encompasses a large number of people. It says many will find that one, but then there are a few that will find the narrow way, and it is Jesus Christ who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, or but by Jesus Christ. It is a light that reveals an understanding of the two paths and their final destinies. It is the Word of God that teaches us about these two paths. It helps us to understand that as we are born in iniquity, or we have inherited the sin nature and already under condemnation. John chapter 3 and verse 18. But it also reveals that there is a way through Jesus Christ, through redemption and forgiveness. Turn with me to chapter 1, Psalm 1. This is another psalm that many have memorized. But in Psalm 1, in verse 6, we see here, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so here we understand there are two ways, and it gives us the light so that we can understand the two paths. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, this is right after it defines that we are saved by grace and not by works, but in there it also tells us why we are saved and what God has an expectation for us after we are saved. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so here we see that the path is a path of righteousness, a journey of righteousness. It is a Spirit-led life. And please understand, it is the same path, the same way for every believer, for every female Christian, for every male Christian. It doesn't make any difference of your ethnic background, whether Jew or Gentile, old or young. a new believer or an old believer or a mature believer. It is the same expectation that we would know how to possess our vessels, this life, this body, in sanctification and honor and live a godly life. This is this is God's way for every believer without respecter of persons. And then it is also a lamp unto our feet. This is in reference to the specific direction for the individual life and living. Now, God has the general expectation for every believer. And we're all to match that and to live that. No exceptions. But then he brings it down to a more personal level where it says, the word is a lamp unto my feet. In other words, it exposes and reveals the very steps that each of us should take. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It is in the Word of God that as you study it, that you will either find specific answers or you will find divine principles for every choice you make in life. And as you live a Spirit-led life, and a Spirit-led life is always in unity with the Word of God. And as you continue to study the Word of God and live a Spirit-led life is simply surrendering and obeying the Word of God. And he helps us to understand more of the Word of God for our life in specific, the more we obey it. If we refuse to obey it, we're not living a Spirit-led life, and he's not going to reveal more of it. We just understand that. But it is a word, it is a manual for every aspect of your life. For every decision you make, you will not, as a believer, you will not make a single decision that cannot find an answer in God's Word to direct you to make that decision. Now, let's say you're talking about two jobs. The Bible's not going to say, take this job and not this job. But the Word of God will give you the principles to understand which would be the right job for you. Now, I'll tell you what, I would not take a job where I had to handle and deal with alcohol. There's, at least 75 verses. I've got a pamphlet. If you don't understand this principle, I've got a pamphlet, and I believe it has 75 Bible verses that explains the evil and the dangers and the destruction of alcohol. And it even says, woe unto one that gives to someone else to drink. And so I'm not going to be party in giving somebody else drink. And so out of all of these years, and I've had to work other jobs to supplement my income and things, I won't take that job because I'll not be party to give somebody to drink. And I got the principle from God's Word. Early in our marriage, when I left the home place, I took a job that I thought was my dream job. I love ranching and cattle and hay, and I'd far rather do that than farming. If I were not preaching, if God had not called me into the ministry, if I was going to have a life and a career, it would be in ranching. And when I left the home place, I had what I thought would be my dream job. I left it within 2 weeks because I was told when I took the job that I could have Sundays to be in Sunday school and church and Sunday night and midweek service. I was told I could do that. They said, all we have to do is make sure the cattle are fed on Sunday and then you can go. The first Sunday I was there, I got up a little early like we always did where I grew up at home. I went out and fed, went home, got ready, went to church. When I got back, I got chewed out by the boss, says, don't you ever do that again. I said, you told me I'd go to church. Well, you can go to church once all the cattle are fed. I said, well, if we do it on the normal schedule, it'll be too late to go to church. He says, well, that's too bad. Tell them to change their church service. I said, they can't do that. I quit the job. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the believers, as the manner of some is. And God gave me the principle to make that decision, and I had another job waiting, and I made that change. Now, it was farming. It really, you know, I didn't want to be a farmer. I wanted to be a rancher. But it was farming. But I took a lesser job in my estimations of what I wanted because it's what God wanted. You see, and we could go through issue after issue, choice after choice. God's word will give you the principle to make the right decisions in every decision you have to make in life. It is a light to your path and to your feet so you know the decisions. It is a manual, and it will give you the principles of how to respond to every issue in life. Much of us spend more time responding in action or reaction than in action. And so many times, because we're simply reacting, we're reacting by the flesh rather than by the Spirit, guided by the Word of God. And the Word of God will instruct you every aspect of how to react and respond to every issue of life. It is a lamp to your feet, your very steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It will teach you how to control and deal with your emotions, how to control and deal with your thought life. It will teach you how to control and deal with your attitude. It is a principle. It is a manual. It is a lamp unto your feet to show you step by step how to live. And so we see it as a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. Not only in the general direction that every believer ought to live, but in the specific steps of how every believer, each believer, must live. With this truth in mind, Psalm 119 is written, I believe, as a testimony of one who put this into practice of their life. If you will read and reread Psalm 119, you will discover a man in whom the law was written in his heart, and he lived for God from his heart outwardly. You see, start with verse 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. The greatest command of all is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. And here he says, if you want to be blessed, and this is the blessed man. You remember, several times I've shared with you when I was chatting with Brother Crabtree, an evangelist, I said, I just want God to bless what we're doing. And his spiritual maturity, and as one of my mentors of how the iron could sharpen iron and how he could reprimand me without being harsh, he says, well then, brother, do what God will bless. If you want to be blessed of God, seek after him with your whole heart. Love his law. Seek after his law. Live it with your whole heart. And here is the testimony of a man with whom God had written his law in his heart, and it affected every aspect of his life. Verse 9 through 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed hereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, it is a light that reveals your sin and has the power to clean up your life. And you feel blessed for this. When a person seeks God with his whole heart and loves his law with the whole heart, then you are delighted and you are excited when the Word of God reveals to you sin in your life that needs to be cleaned up and changed. But when you live with a rebel spirit, when you hear preaching that uses the Word of God to reveal sin in your life, there is this bristling and, you know, how dare he say that? Or I don't like that. Or I don't want to change. Please understand that's the rebel spirit of the natural man, and it's disastrous. But the man that loves the Word of God and loves his God, he's excited that God has shown him the error of his way, that he can correct it and he can do right. I would liken it to a man that's floating on a canoe down the river just at the top of the head of the Niagara Falls. And somebody hollers out at him, you go another half mile down this river and there's a falls, and once you get so close, there's no way of stopping and you're going to plunge over to your death. They pull him into the bank and he walks down and he sees it and he's so excited that somebody showed him the error of his way. And he lives. And he realized that if he'd have gone a little bit further, he'd have hit a place of no return that he couldn't paddle fast enough to get out of. And you know, that's the way sin is. Sin will bind you and enslave you and get you to a point where you in your own power can never get yourself out of there. There's no self-discipline to stop it, and it'll destroy your life. There's only one way to be delivered from sin, and that's through the blood of Christ. Then if you'll notice, beginning in verse 25, another part of that great testimony of how the light is a lamp to his steps. In verse 25, he says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes." And then he says, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word, which is truth." Understand here that it is a light to give you relief and help from emotional turmoil and from the affliction that it brings to you. And he says, "Show me the biblical truth." And in verse 29, he says, "Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously." Discouragement and depression is always the fruit of the lies of the devil. And he says, "Remove me from the lies and give me the truth of thy word so that I can have your comfort and help." In verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, thy way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." It is a light for understanding of God's word. Another place it says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things in the word of God." And the psalmist pens that. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 through 4, "If our gospel be hid, it be hid to them who the God of this world has blinded their eyes and bound them to darkness that they could not see the light." And he finds out that there is, in this, there is great hope in understanding God's word. Verse 49 and 50. Here we see that it is light for hope and comfort of those in great distress. "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Just this week, my sister's husband, they are older than I. He has had a lot of health issues. He has cancer somewhere here in the throat. They went in with surgery. They removed a large section of the throat. They were going to bring the stomach up and attach to where they had cut it off at the top. But he'd been without food for so long that it shriveled, they could not do that. And I don't know, I'm sure they put some type of a tube or a boot in there to replace that. Be in ICU for 3 days and in the hospital for an extended period of time. And they're talking it will be many months of recovery from this if he survives. About halfway through the day, I had read this psalm earlier in the morning, and I texted my sister these two verses, and I said, I was thinking about you when I read these two verses. She texts back and said, I needed that comfort from God's word. You see, it is a light for hope and comfort during a time of great affliction. In 81, verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Look across at a verse 109. He says, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. There, several times the Bible uses this phrase, somebody uses this statement, my life is in my hands. My soul is in my hands. Here it says, my soul is continually in my hand. He realizes that his very life is about to slip out of his hands and die. And here is a light to anchor your trust in the most desperate times of your opposition. And because you're anchored in the Word of God, you can still trust Him during the most horrific times of life. He says, yet do I not forget thy law. Because it's God's Word that is true, that gives him hope, that gives him an anchor to take him through the worst of afflictions that any person could ever experience. In verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Here is a light that he understood for assurance that it was for him in that day. It is for you today, for me today. And it is forever. You know, there's a lot of things that were written in medical manuals 200 years ago and even 2,500 years ago that they have discovered are not true. For example, our first president, George Washington, he was an ill man. He did not die of his illness. He died because what was in the manual was wrong, medical manual. They thought there was some type of an infection or disease in the blood, and the best way to fix it is to put a needle into his blood vessel and drain the blood and bleed him to death. And that's exactly what I understood they did. You see, there's a lot of things that's been written that were wrong. And they discovered they were wrong. But there's never been anything discovered wrong about God's word. It was true 3,500 years ago. It was true 2,000 years ago. It is true today because God's word stands forever. If you would study this, you would also find that it creates a love for God's word. He says, I love thy word. You'll find in starting with 113, it is a light that will change your affection where you will love the law and loathe or hate that which is evil. In 167, it is a light to reveal the foundation upon which you trust and remain faithful. Yes, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is the word a lamp and a light for your life in living? I think here is a test that we can each take. In 1 John chapter 5 through 7, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Is the Word of God both a light to your path so that you are on the right path of eternal life through Jesus Christ? And is it the lamp that directs your steps moment by moment Do you live in the light and have fellowship with him? If not, then you live in darkness with a darkened heart. And without Christ, you are destined to be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth for eternity. Father, we come to you this morning, and what a marvelous passage this is. What a great truth it encapsulates. I pray every believer will rejoice and love the Word of God, and it will be written on their heart. And they will live for God from the heart out. They will be a testimony in their outward appearance and in their outward behavior of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That they will make right choices and right decisions. And we will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.